You are great. So great, Lord. There's nothing like you. Lord, we do pour out our praise in this place today because without the breath in our lungs that you've given us, we wouldn't be anything, Lord. So it's only because you've given us this breath that we're able to pour it back out to you in praise. Your presence is here, and we're so grateful that you are with us, whether we're in the highest of the mountains or the lowest of the valleys, Lord, that you are with us through it all. We thank you for all the fathers that are here in this room today, Lord, but most importantly, we look to you, Heavenly Father, as our example, that we can only love because you first loved us. So we do love you today. We praise you in this place. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys can go ahead and be seated this morning. Well, it is Father's Day this morning, but it's also a little bit of a special day today for us because we have, some of you may notice, we have some different looking blue shirts in the crowd this morning that are sitting up front, and we're so excited that they're here this morning. Rochester Adult and Teen Challenge is here with us this morning. James is going to come up and speak about them in just a second. Before he does that, though, I'm excited for Rochester Adult and Teen Challenge. Remember years ago, we had a family friend who talked all about going through Rochester Adult Teen Challenge, and he was able to share from his heart and how changed he was because of the program that he went through, Chris Harrison, and just the impact that it had on his life and how excited he was when it was getting ready to be started again in Rochester. And Kevin and I and Mark, we went up and toured the facility when it was getting opened a couple of years ago, and just amazing opportunity for anybody to be able to go through that program and change lives. And as we were worshiping this morning, I was thinking of when the lady poured the oil on Jesus' feet and just crying tears and anointing Jesus' feet. And I was hearing you guys sing and how much you're worshiping God. You can worship God because you've been forgiven of much, because your lives have been truly changed by God. And so I thank you for being here this morning and knowing that God has changed your lives and all of our lives, but our lives that have changed drastically because of God, we're able to worship and love freely because of that. So James is going to come on up Junior Church, you can get dismissed first, and then James is going to come on up, and he's going to share.
Hallelujah. Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. I didn't expect this, but when we were singing, when we were worshiping, "Great are you, Lord," God just really, really reminded me of what he brought me out of and what he brought me to. And that's why we're here this morning. And, you know, the Bible says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And so just for one moment, can we just take another moment? If you have breath in your lungs this morning, can you just lift up another shout of praise to the God who set us free, who saved us? Thank you, God. Praise you, God. We love you, God. Heavenly Father, we bless you. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. God created us for that. And when we're worshiping God, we're doing what he created us for. And we're not worried about tomorrow or thinking about yesterday, but we can really be present in his presence. And that's what it's all about, church. And so I am James West. I'm the director of Rochester Adult and Teen Challenge. And it's an honor. It's a privilege to be here with you this morning. Wheatland Community Church, Pastor Kevin, thank you for having us. But thank you for keeping us in prayer. Thank you for your monthly support. Thank you for allowing us to come here this morning and be witnesses and ambassadors of the transforming power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, what else is better than that on a Father's Day morning? So, fathers, happy Father's Day to you. All the fathers, happy Father's Day. And to our Heavenly Father, Jesus said that we should pray to the Father that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's happening right here this morning. It's happening in Adult and Teen Challenge. And so this morning we can say Happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father. Amen? Praise the Lord. For those of you who may be unfamiliar with the Adult and Teen Challenge program, we are a residential Christian discipleship for those who struggle with life-controlling issues, drug addiction, alcoholism. The world would say that alcoholism and addiction is a disease. It would also say that it's incurable. It would say once an addict, always an addict. But the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. And that's the power of the truth of God's word, how it testifies to our spirit and allows us to come out of the chains and the shackles that once held us bound, not just to addiction and life-controlling issues, but to sin. Amen? According to the New York State Department of Health, dated September 25th in 2023, which is about 7 months ago, 8 months ago, there were 3,026 overdose deaths in New York State. Monroe County just released a number that there were over, just this year alone, 2,000 overdoses, and 204 of them were fatal. We do have our poster here that illustrates that. The Monroe County Opioid Task Force put this poster together, and if you look at it, this is Monroe County, and the red dots represent the fatal overdoses. The blue dots represent the non-fatal overdose. So if you look right here, this cluster, Rochester Adult and Teen Challenge is right there in the center of it. Do you think God had a plan on placing us strategically in the center of that so the gospel can be spread and these men could come out of the bondage of addiction and life-controlling issues? Well, that's what we're here this morning to testify. Thank you once again. We have a table in the back, and I'm going to be talking a little more. But right now, I just want to let you watch this powerful video of what I was just talking about.
New tonight, multiple counties have issued overdose spike alerts. This after the second time in 10 days that Erie County has seen at least 3 overdoses in a 24-hour period.
Tonight, a substance once normalized as a party drug, now the leading cause of death in New York's opioid epidemic this year.
Call numbers are up by about 1,200 calls. One of the most alarming statistics is the increase in overdose calls.
Nearly 3 decades, I struggled with drug addiction and selfism and self-reliance. It brought me down the road of degradation, hopelessness, continually wasted hopes and dreams.
You know, I stopped believing in myself and in the true values, what my parents taught me, what my wife taught me, and told me things about. I ignored it all, and I just had one focus, and that was using crack cocaine.
My normal was waking up in hospital beds and jail cells, time and time again.
My life had completely spiraled out of control, and I was on my way to becoming a red dot. But God.
With God.
But God.
He took me out of that complete point of desperation and put a joy in my heart.
There was a new, refreshed relationship with Jesus Christ in my life.
I got my wife back, my children back in my life, and I'm healed.
And I'm just proud to say that I am a child of God and I am redeemed.
What you have just seen is the devastating impact that the drug epidemic has had on our community. Thankfully, we have the solution. The message of the gospel transforms a person from a life of despair and hopelessness to a life of joy and freedom. The No More Red Dots campaign will help us to reach these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Partner with us to save lives. For no more than the price of a cup of coffee a day, you can make a difference. You can be the catalyst for change that will turn a life around. Will you help us today to help our community have no more red dots.
With God, I am not a red dot.
I am not a red dot.
I am not a red dot.
I'm not a red dot.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, church, he's worthy. He's worthy. I'm very passionate about this incredible life-transforming ministry because 15 years ago, I'm not only the program director, but 15 years ago, God set me free from a 24-year drug addiction, life-controlling issues, depression. And when I came to Jesus Christ, it didn't all just go away. That's why I needed a discipleship program. But here I stand today, redeemed, set free from the bondage of addiction and living a life of freedom and victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to run through this slideshow here. We are part of New York Adult and Teen Challenge, where we have centers in Buffalo, Long Island, Rochester, and Syracuse, all dedicated to helping those stuck in the bondage of addiction. And so if you listen to when I talked about the statistics, God has truly strategically placed us all around New York State so that we can be a light in the darkness and to rescue those lost souls that are bound by chains of addiction. We are a 501c3 nonprofit ministry striving to help the lost and the broken find freedom in Christ. And so what that means is that we rely on the community. We rely on churches. We rely on events we do to maintain our mission to restore broken lives through donations. We are self-supportive through you guys, through the church, through the businesses, through anyone who would come alongside of us and say, hey, I want to sow into that. Amen? The heart of our program is resident first. Our residents receive Christian counseling, daily academic studies, vocational training, one-on-one mentoring, Bible studies, prayer, chapel, church services, recreation, warm beds, three daily meals, sometimes four and five, right, Zach? 24/7 supervision and lots and lots and lots of love. Amen. We have a few upcoming events for 2024. We have a New York Adult and Teen Challenge graduation in Syracuse on July 12, 2024. And then our Rochester Adult and Teen Challenge first annual banquet will be on November 1st, 2024. And I'm going to talk to Pastor Kevin about that. We're going to have a whole table from the church there. It's going to be a Grease Assembly of God. And we're really looking forward to our first banquet. Here's a testimony from one of the residents in our program, Stephen, and he says, thanks to Rochester Adult and Teen Challenge, I have found my purpose in life, and I'm in a better place than I ever was before. You are going to hear today live testimonies of those just like Stephen, and we do have Stephen here this morning to share his testimony with you guys. The miracle of Jesus Christ is being performed and being activated through the ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge, and you're going to get to see that this morning. We have a dollar a day. This is a combination of our red dot, no more red dots. It's a dollar a day program. So a dollar a day is all that a sponsorship requires. One addict will get the help and the support that they need, and Jesus will set that one free. Pledge to sponsor a resident for 1 year and pay the first month up front to receive an exclusive 365-day Adult and Teen Challenge inspirational devotional as a gift. So today you can come to our table in the back. We will have representatives back there, and we would love for you to sow into what God is doing in these men's lives. We also have some new products, our Rescue Stories book. All the directors from New York State have wrote their life-transforming story along with some of the graduates, and we put together a book called Rescue Stories. It's one of many to be found, and I was talking to one of our family members of a student that's in the program. We're going to do a family rescue story so that families can witness to what God has done, not only through the individual, but through the family's life. And so I believe that just from that conversation today, God is going to do that. If you noticed when you come in, we have a very good display table of cutting boards. Those cutting boards are actually made by residents of Adult and Teen Challenge. They're processed in Rochester, and we use them as revenue to help support our mission to maintain restoring broken lives. I believe that we have enough to give everybody one to walk out with today. They're great Father's Day gifts, and if you have a birthday coming up, and there's all sorts of ideas and ways that you can help support us by taking one of those home with you today and giving a gift to your loved ones. The current needs of our center, so that the church knows our specific needs, that you can pray with us, and that if God lays it on your heart to support us in that way, we have some potholes in our driveway and we need some blacktop repair. We are in the process of renovating our administrative wing, and we still need support for that. And our refrigeration for our walk-in freezer, we just received a 10 by 9 walk-in box freezer, and it doesn't have any refrigeration, and so we're reaching out to the community to see if anyone could support us and put that thing together. And we're really looking forward, because we have 3 ministries that support us with food. I would say 85% of our food come through the support of the community, where we only have to buy 15% of that, and so we definitely need places to store the extra and the abundance, and we have a freezer now that we can put that in. And, of course, a lot of prayer. So please continue to pray for us and keep us in prayer. Thank you. Lastly, if you or you know someone who is struggling with an addiction or life-controlling issue, that is our hotline, 585-301-2536. Visit our table today. Take a brochure home. Take one of our hotline cards home with you. There's many people that you can meet. You could just bring it home and hand it to somebody that might need the help that we provide. Once again, thank you. And together, we can make a difference, not only saving lives, but saving souls. It's an eternal project that God began when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to bring life and life more abundantly. You are going to see that in just a few moments. So at this time, I would like to introduce to you our choir director, Mr. Terry and Cecil, and the new creation, Rochester Adult and Teen Challenge Choir.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for being here. Thank you.
my testimony.
You can be seated. We are God's rescue story, and the reason we're God's rescue story is because he's taken us from darkness and brought us into the light. We were living in a fog, and when it seems like there's no other way out, God made a way. And I've been telling these guys that for a long time that if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you know, you can walk on water. Peter walked on water, and my illustration for that is, if you know what a boat looks like, I don't know if it's a canoe, I don't care if it's a rowboat or if it's a fishing boat. If you got to get out of it to get on the water, you got to make some type of action to do so. And when you make that action to do it, if you keep your focus and eyes on Jesus like Peter did initially, then you're able to walk on water. However, it was a storm when he got out. Think about it. It was a storm when he got out. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, something must have slapped him in the face. A wave or a wind, something hit him and caused him to recognize, oh, my God, I'm walking on water. And in the midst of that, he began to sink because he started looking at his situation and his circumstance at where he was. But as long as he kept his focus on Christ, he was able to walk on the water. However, immediately when he cried out to Jesus, he was there. Now, I have a question. How did he get back to the boat? Because we don't know how far away from the boat they were when he fell. But he did get out and he did walk on water. So there was some distance in between, and because there was some distance in between, they had to go back. So how did they get back? Did Jesus carry him? By no means. He took him by the hand, and he walked beside him and brought him back to the boat, and then the winds and the waves ceased. However, when we come to the program, we were in a storm before we came. Don't you know that the storm doesn't stop when you're in the boat or when you walk out the boat, when you take the leap of faith to come and see Jesus? You have to keep your focus and attention on what you came to the program for so that you can get what Jesus has for you. But when you start looking at your situation and your circumstance, oh, I got to help my family, I got to help my wife, I got to get a job, I gotta pay my bills, I gotta pay child support, those things were there before we came. And if we keep our focus and attention on Jesus, then we're able to make it through. So I say that to say that each and every one of these men have their focus on Jesus and they're walking on water today, because God has brought them out of the bondage of despair. So I just want to go through it and have a couple of them say their names, where they're from, and how long they've been in the program.
Good morning, church. My name is Jose. I come from Port Jervis, New York. I've been in the program 10 months, and I'm so grateful to be here. I mean, on Father's Day, I'm sober. I've got the best 10 months of my life today here. You know, I can't express myself. Thank you so much, family.
My name is Zach. I'm from Western New York. I've been in the program 10 months, and for 16 years, I battled with addiction, and now I can say I'm clean and sober. Praise God.
First of all, I want to thank God. My name is Cleveland Pringle. I'm 65 years old. I'm from Albany, New York, and I usually don't celebrate Father's Day. 11 years ago, my son hung himself, and I stopped celebrating Father's Day. But here I am today. Tomorrow will be seven months. I'll be clean and sober. This is the first time I've been clean since then. And I just want to thank God that I'm standing on this stage doing something I enjoy doing, is singing. Amen.
And the reason why he can be that way is because he don't trust in Cleveland no more. He trusts in God.
Thank you. Well, hello, church. Hi, I'm Stephen. I was born and raised in Rochester, New York. I'm 28 years old. I've been in the program now for about 7 months, about seven and a half months. I came from an amazing family. They were loving. They were great. My mom and my dad are actually sitting right there, still supporting me. Happy Father's Day. Somewhere along the way, I decided that I wanted to walk on my own. And I didn't want to follow what I was raised in. I wanted to rebel. As we're all born with rebellious nature. That's the whole point of sin, is that it's in our hearts that way. But I decided that I wasn't going to look to God anymore. For 10 years, I went to partying and drugs and women and just whatever I could do just to be on my own and do whatever I wanted to do. And then I found crack cocaine. And for almost 8 months, it just started to take over my life. Just to a point where I was complete desperation, where I didn't even recognize who I was in the mirror. I was probably 100 pounds soaking wet when I came into the program. And when I finally hit my knees and I was just, God, I need help. I need something that change. And that change was a daunting challenge. My parents and I found it. We went there on an interview. I decided, like, I'm going to come in today. I'm not going to wait. An hour after spitting out the program, I tried to run. I was filling out the application. I was like, I don't want to be here, but I decided, you know, I'm going to stick it out. And within three months, I was in love. I just found that new light that I thought I lost. That I was never going to find a motivation, any self-worth, anything ever again. But God. God brought me right back to where I was supposed to be. Now I have a purpose in my life, and I have a meaning, and I have what I want to do, and that's going to glorify God and not myself or my family or anything. That's going to just bring the light back into the world that's just filled with darkness. And that's all I have to say. God bless you guys. I will like to say, the scripture I like to stand on is James 1, 2 through 4. It's just to count it all joy when you face various trials. So the testing of your faith produces patience. And let your patience have its perfect work so that you'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. That was absolutely fantastic. I mean, just thank you, guys. Wow. I just praise God for the testimonies, the stories, the way that God is at work in all of our lives. And the beautiful thing that you guys can share with us, it's brought so much joy to our hearts today. So you've expressed your thanks for coming, but the blessing is truly ours. And it's been such a joy to welcome you all here. And boy, those songs were powerful. And this has just quickly become the best service of the year, and hands down. And I feel a little bit weird now preaching because I feel like we just need to hear more from you guys. But we're going to open up the Word, and we're going to share a story. Josh is going to read the scripture that I think is very fitting, given some of the stories that we've heard. And so thank you guys again for being here. Josh, read the Word for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Such an amazing testimony, and you guys are awesome because you're following where God's leading you. So thank you for taking that step out and faith and doing that. So we're going to read from Luke 15 today, Luke 15, 11 through 24, and this is from the CSB version. The parable of the lost son. He also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food? And here I am, dying of hunger. I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father told his servants, 'Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. And let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate."
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. We give God praise for it. Thanks, Josh, for reading. Let's pray. God, we, again, want to just give you praise because you are so good. As we just read the scripture, it reminds us of how great your love is for us. And so we give you all praise and glory and honor. Impress upon our hearts what you would have us to know and how you would have us to be changed. And so I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've been thinking through a lot of heaviness, and that's beautiful. I thought we would just take a few minutes to just lighten up the mood for a little bit. Let's do do we have that slide, Wyatt? My dad jokes? There we go. In honor of Father's Day, I've got 10 dad jokes for us. All right, let's just start with it. We just got to have a little bit of humor this morning. Here's a few dad jokes for us. Ready? All right, great hide-and-seek players are really hard to find. Oh, man, that's hilarious. That's a good one. Okay, some of you guys are going to groan more than laugh, but that's okay. I'm taking steps to overcome my hiking addiction. Not out of the woods yet. Oh, man. Okay, there we go. My landlord wants to talk about my high heating bills. I told them my door's always open. That's a good one. fruit farmers, they eat what they can what they can't. All right, here we go. A few more. Laughing out loud is forbidden in Hawaii because it's a aloha state. It's a aloha state, yeah. That's a good one. When you dream in color, it's a pigment of your imagination. These are good. Dads, you can use these, by the way. It's free, no charge here. I think my wife is putting glue on my firearms. She denies it, but I'm sticking to my guns. And I married my wife for her looks, but not the ones I'm getting lately. Oh, man. Inspecting mirrors is a job I could really see myself doing. And I think we got one more here. I bought a fake koi fish. It's my decoy. Oh, man. All right, there we go. So, all right, a little bit of silliness there this morning, but let's transition our hearts now because, you know, however you feel about Father's Day, right? We've been talking a little bit about this. Some of us have beautiful, happy memories. Some of us have difficult, dark, sad memories. Maybe not even have memories. Some of you may have grown up without a dad. Whatever your story is, what we want to do right now, this morning, the focus of today is for us to understand how deeply we are loved and accepted by our true Father, our Heavenly Father. So the heart this morning is simply this. It's to worship God and then to leave encouraged. And so I want to give us, here's our outline today, just a very basic outline. We've got, if I can get through it, here we go. 5 descriptions of God as our Father, and then 5 callings of earthly fathers who know the Father. All right, so for those of us who know, as fathers who know the Father, we've got 5 callings. But I want us to first look at the description of God as our Father. 5 things this morning. All right, here they are. First, he is rich toward us. If we look at, again at our story from Luke chapter 15, look at the Father's estate. Look at how much he has. The wealth that he has for us. This is what God has stored up for us from eternity past. From before he even created, this was for us. He had designed all of this for us, for our benefit, for our joy. And one of my favorite verses, it was kind of my life verse, if you will, because I had the blessing of experiencing this at the age of 16, and then forever since. Psalm 16:11, it says that you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the inheritance we have in Jesus Christ. This is what God has stored up for us. It's his riches. And so first, the thing that we need to understand about God is that he is rich toward us. But secondly, look at, and this is the climax of the story, for me at least, it's his compassion. As we look at the story of the prodigal or lost son, I mean, just let's take a moment to just refresh ourselves in the lifestyle of the son. He said, Father, give me what's mine. And he takes it and he scorns it and he walks away. And then he spends it on foolish living, on lavish living, just however he wants. That's how it was for him. So the story of this young man was brokenness. It was addiction. It was pleasure. It was, I'm going to do what I want to do with no thought of what you want for me, Father. But then by the grace of God, and this sometimes life does this, right? Like Stephen's testimony this morning, right? We hit a low. We come to a place of like, what am I doing? Why am I living this way? In church, this is important for us to remember, that it's not just when we hit a cultural sense of rock bottom, right? Whether it's like some sort of an intense addiction like some of these men have shared about. You might have grown up and you've never dealt with anything super consequential, but you are just in the same exact place as anyone else. This son is your story. You are the lost son. You were the lost son, I should say. And by God's grace, he brought you to himself. And look at the compassion of the Father here. Look at how amazing of a heart this Father had. Verse 20. Right? The son says, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to my father. And while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him. What does that show us? It shows us that the father's always looking to you, always wanting you to return. And Christian here, even if you're here and you say, okay, I know God, but I've wandered. And that's really the context here. It's really a Jewish context of someone who grew up knowing of God. They knew the law. They had all the blessings of having a relationship with God, but then they wandered away. And God still says, but I'll have you back. I'll have you back because I love you. I love you so dearly. Our God is a compassionate God. It's so good to know his compassion. Romans 5:8 says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. I imagine this son, when he came from feeding the pigs, didn't smell too good, didn't look too good, was in a pretty rough shape. But what was God's response towards him? He ran to him. The father ran to him, threw his arms around him. He didn't care. He said, I just love you. I'm so glad that you're back. That's the portrait of our God. Psalm 103 is such a beautiful psalm. Verse 4 says that he redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love. This is our God. He's compassionate. He's eager to receive us. Once again, look at how the Father loved his son in verse 20. He ran to him. The eagerness of God was incredible. He was so quick. He was waiting for his son to return. There was expectant hope and faith. That's the way God sees all of his creation. He longs for them to come, to return, to turn to him in faith and repentance. And he longs to embrace them. He's quick and he's ready to forgive and restore. Not only did the father run to his son and embrace him with compassion, but there was restoration. There was forgiveness. There was a robe, and there were sandals, and there was a ring, and the sonship was restored to him. He was no longer a worthless, good-for-nothing slave like he made himself into. Instead, the father said, no, you are my son. You will always be my son. And now that you've come home, this is a day of rejoicing. There is full restoration. Notice he didn't have to climb his way back up to sonship. He didn't have to work his way back. Well, after you work for me for 5 years, then you can be my son again. Once you pay off your debt, once you return the inheritance to me. No, it was, you are immediately restored into perfect and right relationship with me because of your heart of repentance, and that's what it is. That's our calling in this. That's our response to this as children, is we come to God broken and utterly in need. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once again from Psalm 103, I love the psalm. It's so good. Verse 3 says, he forgives all your iniquity. Verses 8 through 12, listen to these verses. Once again, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. God is angry with sin, amen? But he will not always be. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward us who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And we know the end of the story, that it's through Jesus Christ. It's through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's how God's compassion and his forgiveness and restoration comes to us. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that whosoever will come to Jesus and say, oh God, I've sinned against you. Would you forgive me? Would you restore me to that beautiful place of creation, that goodness, that perfect design that you've created us for, a relationship with you, that we can be restored into relationship, and God restores it. And then lastly, this is a beautiful thing. He rejoices over us. Here's this father. He's lost his son for years. The son was wandering away, living however he wants, but not only does he run to him expectantly, not only does he embrace him, put a ring and a robe and sandals on his feet, slay the fattened calf, celebrate and rejoice, but the father rejoices for the fact that his son is home again. And this is a beautiful truth for us. And this is maybe a book of the scriptures that we don't turn to very often. Zephaniah, right? Zephaniah. But look at Zephaniah 3:17. This is so beautiful. The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. God is the one who saves. God is the one who receives all the glory for these things. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing. Church, this is what God does over you. Ready? He rejoices over you. He's singing over you. As we sing to God and as we worship him, he's rejoicing over you. God is so pleased with you. And you might say, I'm no good. I'm good for nothing. What is there to rejoice over about me? Right? Some of us take that kind of approach. We struggle with that, right? We have this lowly view of ourselves, and sometimes it's self-deprecating. It was a helpful men's study a couple weeks back where we kind of processed these things. We ought not to have that self-deprecating view. I am a child of God. You're a child of God. That's a beautiful thing, and God rejoices over you. And that is so entirely wonderful. So this is our God. He's rich toward us. His blessings are immense. Just read Ephesians chapter 1 if you are interested in considering the blessings of God for you this morning. He's compassionate. And he's not just compassionate on the day that you come to him for salvation. He's compassionate every single day. Every moment, every time you mess up, you might be here this morning and you say, oh, Kevin, if you knew my sin, if you knew what I did last night, if you knew what I thought about, if you knew what I said to my wife, if you knew what I said, if you knew what I did, God knows everything and he's ready to pour out his compassion on you. He's ready to just pour out his compassion and his grace that's lavished upon you as you turn to him in faith. That's our God. He's eager to receive you. He's ready to restore you and forgive you. It's just relationship. Are you willing to come before him afresh and say, God, here I am, your child. I've wandered away. Would you refresh me in your love? So this is our God. Let's consider now for the fathers, but not only the fathers in the room, but the prospective fathers. And not only the prospective fathers, but also the mothers in the room and the prospective mothers. And those of you who might say, I don't know if I'll ever become a father or a mother. That's okay. This is for you as well. This is for any of you who might be a spiritual father or even mother. Someone who is pouring into the lives of other people. You might be a children's church teacher. You might be a volunteer. You might be someone who has influence. By the way, that's all of you. Every single one of you have influence. There are children in this church that look up to you. There's children in the community that look up to you. There's younger people than you that look up to you. There's older people that look up to you in many situations. So let's look at five callings of earthly fathers who know the Father. So for Christians, for those of us, this is our calling. First and foremost, it's to provide for our children. It's to provide for our children. 1 Timothy 5:8. This is a very challenging text, but it's a very helpful one, and it's one that I think, you know, there's a sense in which we know this intuitively, right? Because we're designed in the image of God. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes our brokenness leads us to miss this. But 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That's intense words, isn't it? Do you think God cares about the provision of your family? Absolutely, fathers and mothers, once again. Single moms in here. Whoa, man, what a job you have. And we commend you. Now, you might say, "Oh, Kevin, but, oh, boy, I've messed up in that way. I missed the mark there. I was lazy, or I didn't know better, or I this, I that. You know, you might say, "Oh, there's things in my past I'm so not proud of, and I missed the mark." That's the past. There's restoration in Jesus Christ. And today is the day where you say, "I am going to recommit to being a provider. I'm going to provide well. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to make sure I do my fatherly duty. I'm going to make sure I do my human duty to work and to be responsible." Why should we provide? Why this calling to provide? Because God has provided for us. He is the great provider. He is the Jehovah Jireh. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. If you remember the story of Abraham with Isaac. What a story. What a story. God tells Abraham to sacrifice his only son. Gee, I wonder what that was a picture of, right? Of Jesus that was to come. And Abraham, this old man who has a son, the son of promise that God said, through him you will become a great nation. And God says, "You're to sacrifice him. You are to put him to death on an altar," which is not the heart of God. But Abraham believed. Abraham trusted in God. He said, "Okay, the Lord will provide." And that's exactly what God did. And he waited till the very last minute, testing the faith of Abraham, right? But he trusted in God, and God poured out his blessing. God is our great provider. And because God provides, God provided, for those of you who are unaware of that story, God provided a sacrifice so that he didn't have to sacrifice his son. And that ram was the substitute for Isaac. And Jesus is the substitute for us. So God provides for us, and God provides this. The most important thing God provides is salvation in Jesus Christ. Earthly fathers and mothers and people in here, we're never going to be able to provide that kind of a blessing to people, to our children. But we are called to provide well for them. Why? Because God has provided the greatest possible provision that could ever be given, eternal life through Jesus Christ. So that's why we provide, because God has provided for us. Secondly, we are called to be tender towards our children. Tender towards our children. Now, this can be confused sometimes, right? You know, we've heard this concept in our culture that, you know, men have to be strong, men have to be brutes. We've got to, you know, show off our strength and our muscles and flex. But that's not the biblical calling. We're called to be tender. We're called to be meek like Christ. Meekness, we've probably heard this before, meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control. And that's the same goes for tenderness. Fathers, are you tender with your children? Or is there constant harshness and an unapproachability with your children? Oh, may that not be the case. And once again, you might say, "Oh, but Kevin, I've been so unapproachable. I've been so brash with my children over the years, and they don't want anything to do with me now." It's never too late. You can always go back. You can always start to be tender. In Jesus Christ, there's restoration. Colossians 3:21, don't provoke your children to anger. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness, let your moderation, let your graciousness be known to all people. Once again, the question is, why should we be tender? And what's the answer? Because God is tender towards us. God is tender towards us. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, great is the faithfulness of God towards us. Great is his grace toward us. Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. God is tender toward us. Parents, be tender toward your children. Thirdly, parents, fathers, teach the truth to your children. Some of you are like, Kevin, you're gonna share Ephesians 6:4, right? Absolutely. Ephesians 6:4, this is a critical text for fathers and mothers, I would say. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. The training and instruction of the Lord. This is our calling. This is, I would say, a primary calling of fathers. We need to teach the truth of God's word. And as we talked about, some of us, our young families group on Friday night, it's not just the explicit teaching of the word, taking the Bible and actually saying, okay, children, let's talk about who God is. Let's talk about who Jesus is. Let's talk about what he's done for us. That's important. But it's also the implicit teaching that comes from a life that's been so saturated in Jesus Christ himself, that just breathes out of us. It just oozes out of our lives. The heart of God, as we parent our children, it should come out naturally from us, this compassion, this teaching, this love of God. So we want to teach explicitly, but also implicitly from our lives. And once again, why do we teach? Why is it that we teach? Why do we have this calling to teach? Because God and his word is truth. That's why we teach the truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. What does he say in his high priestly prayer, John 17:17? Father, your word, teach them the truth. Your word is truth. So God's word, Jesus himself is truth. We need to teach truth. That has to be a value of our lives. All right, fourthly, fathers. Fathers who know the Father, we forgive and restore our children after they make mistakes. Do you do this? Do you make sure you do this, parents? Now, why do we do this? Have you caught the trend yet? Because the Father has forgiven and restored us. We forgive, we restore because the Father does that with us. That's why we can. And if you're ever tempted to think, I shouldn't restore my children, I shouldn't forgive my child, I can't believe what they did against me. They disrespected me, my authority. If that's the thought process, what is it that you should do? Maybe you should run back to Jesus yourself because you don't understand the gospel in that moment. Because your sin is infinitely greater than your children's against you. And if your father can forgive you your sin, you must forgive your children. You must forgive your wife, your husband, your friends and family. Jesus teaches that. Why should we forgive? Because your heavenly Father has forgiven you. So we've got to forgive and restore our children. And not only because it's biblical, it's a command, and we don't want to do it begrudgingly, but we want to do it out of the overflow of our own forgiveness of God. But we also do it because it's practically beneficial for our children. Do we want to have relationship with our children long term? Yes, absolutely. Let's forgive and let's restore. Once again, Psalm 103, it's there. Let me just read it because it's so good. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Oh, we need to remember this, the forgiveness and the restoration of God over us. Lastly, fathers who know the Father, we rejoice and we praise our children whenever we can. Look at Proverbs 23 with me. Proverbs 23, verse 24. Sorry, I don't have these on the screen. Proverbs 23, 24. The father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly, and one who fathers a wise son will delight in him. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky, right? Because you're saying, Kevin, yeah, there's some conditional statements in there. There's some conditional statements. A righteous son, a wise son. And yes, we do especially enjoy and rejoice when our children follow the ways of God, when they walk in God's truth, when they're wise, and when they live righteously. But I think the general principle, the natural principle of life is that when things are good, when things happen that are right and true and wise, let's be sure to praise that. You might not be able to praise the disrespectful decisions. You might not be able to praise the times when your children lie and they cheat and they do these kinds of things, right? We don't want to praise sin, but can we rejoice when our children make good choices? Make it an intentional mark in your life to intentionally go to your children and say, hey, that was good. I saw what you did there. That was really special. I think that's really important. It's really important for us to tell our children that we're proud of them. Do you know how big of an impact that makes? Think about your own lives, right? When you're, especially for us boys, right? When our dads say, proud of you, it means a lot, doesn't it? And when our daughters hear, I love you, those are powerful words. Do we say them to our children? Fathers, do we tell our children that we rejoice and we praise them, that we love them, that we feel so much towards them? Because remember, God rejoices over us. So these points of calling are fine. They're good. They're biblical. Our example is God, our own Father. But let's not just think of them as a checklist to accomplish this week. Okay, I got to make sure I praise my children like at least 3 times this week. I've got to, you know, as soon as they do something wrong, I got to forgive them. You know, I want to teach them the truth at least twice this week. Don't just think of it as a checklist. Do these things. Pursue them. But most importantly, this is how you can have success as a father or a mother or as a teacher or as a mentor, anyone who has influence. This is the success. Ready? It's to look upon your own Father. It's to look upon your true Heavenly Father. That is where you are going to be able to do these things. He is your strength. I love the way Kerry Doyle put it just this morning in a text message. He says this, the most significant strength is from dependence. The most significant strength that we have is when we are dependent upon God. And what was it that Paul said? If you remember, he was dealing with his weaknesses in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he prayed to God. He's like, oh, God, take these things away from me. Take this thorn in my flesh away from me. And what is it that God said? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. The whole point, church, the whole point is that we're weak. The whole point of it is that we're weak. And in the recognition of your own weakness, there is strength. If you think you're strong, you're going to fall. Pride cometh before what? The destruction, the fall. So when you think that you're doing okay, when you think, I've got this, I can handle this, I can go through this, I don't need anything or anyone, or I don't even need God. You might not intentionally say that. You might not have that level of arrogance. But when you have that mindset of, I got this, I can do it, no, you better get on your knees and say, God, help me. Fathers, when's the last time you cried out? Mothers in here, all of you in here, when's the last time you cried out, God, I need you. I can't do this. I can't walk the way you are calling me to walk. It's too difficult. God, would you help me? Would you give me the strength that I need to walk in your ways? So church, that's our calling. Let's look well upon our Heavenly Father. Let's remember that we are that lost son who has squandered the inheritance. We went off doing our own thing, but then thanks be to God, Jesus Christ came, substituted his very life for us on that cross, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's the promise. That's the calling. Let's walk in it. Let's rejoice well in our God. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for how you've given us an eternal heavenly example in yourself of what a father is. God, your fatherhood is so special. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for forgiving us and restoring us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for making us new. God, we were lost, we were broken, we were hopeless, and you saved us. And so, God, we just want to sit in this moment, this quietness right now of our own hearts. We just want to worship you. God, and we want to remember that not only are you a great and awesome and good Father, but you're also calling us to reflect your goodness, to reflect your greatness, to reflect your compassion, to reflect your forgiveness and to be a testimony to our children, to be a testimony to our community of what biblical Christianity looks like. That we might say, oh, not me, it's God, it's Christ in me. He is the hope, he is the beauty, he's the goodness. And oh God, would you give us the wisdom to point people to you. If they see anything in us that looks good, if they see anything in us that's wise, if they see anything in us that's right and put together, oh, that it would be, that we would be quick to give our lips the praise that it's due. God, that we would just highlight your goodness and your greatness. And even in the lives of our children, Lord, may they not see us, but may they see you. May they come to know you. Lord, may all the children in this church and our community, may they find relationship with you. Because you are their hope. You are their joy. You are their peace. You're their security. You're their self-worth. And oh, for all of us, God, may we not find our self-worth in our own parents or in our own experiences or in our own upbringing, in our own formation of things. But Lord, may we find our self-worth to whom it is from, which is you. You have given us that. And so we trust in you. We thank you. We rejoice in you today. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.